So we walk into this church, and I decided to sit down on the right-hand side, second row back, because the first row was reserved. And we were early, and so we sat there for 10, 15 minutes, talked with some guys, and some of the guys that we talked to actually moved out, and we moved over a little bit closer to the center. And lo and behold, right before this missions conference starts, out walks John MacArthur, and he sits down right in front of me. I mean, literally, like the pew right in front of me. Like I'm looking at the back of his white head. And so I figured, well, I guess if John MacArthur's sitting right here within 1 foot of me, maybe I need to talk to him. And so I said, Pastor MacArthur? And I didn't even know. I was like, how do you, is he Dr. John MacArthur or Dr. John or John, what is, I don't know. Anyway, I said, Pastor MacArthur. And he turned around and we had a very nice conversation. And I thanked him for the influence that he has had and his ministry has had in Ukraine and Russia, and especially in the area of expository preaching. And anyway, he was very gracious, and he knew some of the names of some of the Russians and Ukrainians who are also working in ministry and training church leaders. And so that was a very pleasant way for us to start the conference this last week at the Shepherds Conference 2016. By the way, I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the Now's the Time podcast. I believe it is episode 70. So today I want to talk with you about the Shepherds Conference because I just got back last week, spent all the whole week down there, and you know, honestly, this wasn't my first Shepherds Conference. It's my third, but the first one I went to was like 17 years ago or something, and then I was there 2 years ago, and then this year. But for some reason, I just really felt like there was a greater impact this year than when I was there 2 years ago. And so I want to share a couple, actually more than a couple, about five ways that the Shepherds Conference has impacted me this year, and things that I want to do in response to some of the things that I heard at the Shepherds Conference. And so I just want to talk with you about that today because I think it's valuable. You know, these conferences, while I was here in the States, I attended two conferences. One was the Russian Pastors Conference in Battleground, Washington, and then the Shepherds Conference. And actually, we had a lot of Russian speakers here at the Shepherds Conference as well. But I think it's valuable to not just attend these conferences, but then to really be able to pinpoint some truths that you have learned and some ways that you can apply those truths in your ministry. Because, you know, I don't just go to these conferences just because they're a fun thing to do. I don't just go to them just because I like the experience, although I do get joy out of the experience. So there's a number of different reasons really why I go. I do go because there are other pastors and church leaders there that are oftentimes as beneficial, encouraging to be able to meet with them and talk with them. In fact, I met a number of church leaders from Ukraine and Russia and even planned some ministry with some of them while I was there. But the most important reason why I think is beneficial for pastors and church leaders, from people like myself, to go is because it gives us a time when we can let others minister to us with the Word of God, which is so important. And I think that I find that there's often a drift in ministry away from the Word of God. And this just allows us to be able to center again on the Word of God. Sometimes it is just reminding us of truths that we may already know, but bringing them to light in a way that helps us to remember their significance, and so that we can go back to our places of ministry and focus on those tasks that are truly the most important, and to be encouraged in doing that, even though it may be difficult, knowing that there are, you know, thousands of other pastors doing the same thing. So, really, a great encouragement and a very edifying and useful time for me at the Shepherds Conference. So let's see. I wrote down a couple of things here that I want to share with you. Just some I guess I would call them general takeaways, things that I want to really focus on and apply in my life and in my ministry. And so I've written down five of them. The first one is this: I need to make sure I am pursuing a biblical model of success in my ministry. And I'm writing these down all just in a personal way, but obviously you can understand I'm just kind of going off my notes. These are things that I sat down and wrote after the conference as I was just kind of meditating on some things. So I wrote, I need to make sure I'm pursuing a model of biblical success in my ministry. And that comes from one of the sessions that a guy named Nathan Bouzinetz, I think I'm saying his last name correctly. Anyway, Nathan Bouzinetz, he talked about biblical success and how it's so easy to get caught up in the numbers of success and the way this success looks to everyone else. And I'm sure that is true as a pastor. And I think, in a way, sometimes it's even more true as a missionary. Why? Well, because we have to write our newsletters and tell people, and sometimes we feel that our support depends upon how many people got saved, how many people we trained, how many churches we started, and there is just this subtle underlying pressure all the time to give us the numbers, show us what you've done, show us your activity. And so I appreciated as Nathan went into this and showed a biblical model for success really focuses on the faithfulness of the minister and how faithful he is to preach and teach God's word when it's difficult, when it's hard, when wonderful things are happening, and when not so wonderful things are happening. And so anyway, he spoke from 2 Timothy chapter 4, and just there he looked through verses 3 through, I think about 3 through 9 or 10, and he looked at Paul's, as Paul told Timothy, how he ministered and felt that how he had run his race, which, Paul towards the end of his life says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and he says everyone has left me and stuff. Really, he didn't look very successful at the end of his life, but yet he was successful. So anyway, really good reminder to just come back to a biblical understanding of success, which is faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness to God, faithfulness in preaching the word, okay? The second thing I wrote down is this: I need to pursue deeper theological study. And I think this was a theme that kind of went throughout the conference, in came out in a number of different sessions. But in particular, John MacArthur, he preached twice from John chapter 17, which is Jesus' priestly, called the priestly prayer, when he prayed to the Father, and he prayed for the disciples, and he prayed for those that God would save. And he just did a really fine job of bringing out the theology of that prayer. What does this prayer teach us about God, about his nature? And he focused on that, saying, look at this text and let us just kind of dissect the theology that this text is giving us. And then another, I guess, place that I really picked that up was the need to focus on theology. Well, actually, there were several places, but the Q&A time where they had, I think, Albert Mohler, Tom Pennington, and John MacArthur, I think, and Paul Washer, if I remember right. I might be wrong on that, but anyway, they had three or four guys up there, and I think the question was asked, what books have really influenced you? And they talked about different theological books that they've read that had just influenced them. And they encouraged and exhorted the pastors to listen, don't give up studying theology. You need to pursue your study of Scripture and, in parallel to that, a deep study of theology. And basically, all theology is just taking scriptural teaching on certain topics and compiling them to understand altogether, what does the Bible say about this one topic? So it's just really sort of a different type. It gives you a broad overview. And I think that's what they emphasize, that theology gives us this broad overview and understanding of what does the Bible teach about this, from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and what have you. And so I was really challenged to not get lazy in my theology, not get lazy in my studies, but to pursue deep theological study and wrestle with deep theological issues. In fact, and I can't remember who it was now, I think maybe it was Al Mohler that talked about that, you know, when we wrestle with some of these deep theological issues, it does a couple of things. One is it helps us realize that we are finite, that we have limits to our mind, and sometimes we have a hard time grasping theology because we are just finite and we can't completely understand everything. And also he talked about the fact that wrestling with these issues is really a means of growing, and that as we wrestle with different theological issues, we grow in our walk and in our faith, and we become closer to God. So I appreciated that. Okay, so that was number two. I need to pursue a deeper theological study. Number three, I need to do everything I can to ensure biblical exposition of Scripture. When I say this, need to do everything I can, I'm talking about myself and my own sermon, my own preaching. I think that it is really important that my preaching be a good example for those who listen. But I'm also talking, you know, I thought a lot about my church and what I can do to raise the level of preaching in my church. We have about 15 guys that preach on a regular basis. What training do they need? How can I influence them? How can I better train them so that they will learn to preach from God's word, expositionally from God's word? And I think that this, you know, there was a couple of things, again, that impacted me on this in the conference. One was Al Mohler. He talked from Malachi chapter 2. And what does it mean to be a messenger of God? That we are responsible for conveying, for communicating the voice of God to others, and the great responsibility that is, and how important it is that we clearly and accurately communicate what God has said. And then also, I think one just really good example that we had there too was Stephen Lawson, who preached from Psalm chapter 2 and just exposited it beautifully. By the way, these sermons will be up eventually at the Shepherd's Conference website, which I think is shepherdsconference.com. And so I know that as I'm recording this, they're not up there yet, but it may be another week or so, and they should have those sermons up there. I highly recommend that you take some time and watch. And if you're only going to watch one or two, watch Paul Washer's sermon on the substitutionary atonement. And it's hard for me to pick a second one. Phil Lawson was good, great. Albert Mohler was great. Okay, never mind. Well, anyway, watch Paul Washer's and then find another one and watch that one too, okay? So that was number three. I need to do everything I can to make sure that I am doing biblical exposition, and so are the other preachers in my church. Number four, I need to develop a deeper personal passion for the glory of God through personal study and prayer. And I think that this idea really came to me as I listened to Paul Washer. And I did a video on this. I'll put that video actually in the blog post. Paul Washer's sermon was historical. The depth of the passion and the theology and the way in which he communicated the substitutionary atonement, the fact that Jesus took the weight of your sin and my sin upon himself, even though he was innocent. The way that he communicated that made me see it in a way and feel it in a way that I had not before. And I think the thing is that with these types of issues, these types of theological issues, like the substitutionary atonement, maybe in a way that, often as a pastor, as a teacher, it's like you get used to these theological ideas, and they sort of begin to lose their impact on your heart and on your life. And I felt that Paul Washer did a good job of accurately communicating how deep is the Father's love for us, in that he sent his son and he was willing to sacrifice him. How horrific it is that Jesus Christ was put to death, who was innocent. And he brought these truths to life in a way that I can tell you, 3,000 men in that one room, you could hear a pin drop at times. 3,000 men in that one room, and you could hear men weeping at times as they listened to the description of Jesus' substitutionary sacrifice for us. So, highly recommend that you listen to that sermon. But what it did for me is it reminded me of the need for deep personal Bible study and devotion, because it is out of that place that God raises up a certain passion within the heart and gives that passion through preaching as well. All right, so the final thing here, number five, I need to check my motivations for serving. And Tom Pennington did a great job. He preached about the Pharisees and their blind spots, and that was from Matthew chapter 23. And how easy it is for us to have some of the same blind spots as the Pharisees have, and that we need to check our motivations. Why are we doing these things? And are we doing it for God's glory or for our own glory? And so, anyway, I thought that was just a great reminder, and helped, kind of humbled me a little bit, when I think, wow, overall, I just want to say that this conference, there is a sense in which I felt that I was lifted up to a new level. Like, as I listened to these guys preaching, I was reminded, oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't be lazy in my preparation. I shouldn't be lazy in my Bible reading. I have a great responsibility. And that was a very good reminder for me that I need to be diligent in study, diligent in the ministry, and I need to pursue accurate preaching of God's word. And so, as I go back to Ukraine, I'm flying back tomorrow at 2:15 p.m., which by the time I get this up, I'm not sure when I'm going to publish this. I may even publish it while I'm sitting there in the airport, because right now I am just pretty much packed. I've got a couple more things I'm going to throw in the morning, then we head out to the airport. But as I go back to Ukraine, I'm just thinking, how can I best use these things in the ministry? What I have learned, I can't just, it would be a sin just to go to a conference like this and then say, oh, wow, that was great. What a great experience. And then just walk away and not apply any of it to my life or ministry. So I really want to do that. Another, wonderful aspect of being at this conference was just the encouragement of seeing and being with so many other men who minister God's word, who preach God's word regularly. And what an encouragement. And to see some old friends as well. Also, I got to spend some time with my brother Ezra's wife Heather. So anyway, good experience, but it's time for me to get back to my family, who's been waiting for me in Ukraine and ministry. And so I'm very excited about doing that. We have a class coming up in our church, actually, this coming weekend, basic Bible doctrine. And so I need to make sure that things are going along well for that. Plus, we have our online class going right now. Plus, I'll be going out on Sunday to the Ministry of the Refugees, which, because I haven't been there for 3 Sundays in a row. And so, anyway, appreciate your prayers for me, for our family, And yeah, we do. We really appreciate that. And so if you want to stay connected with us, just check out sukofamily.org, sukofamily.org/70 if you want to get to this podcast episode. I did, by the way, do some vlogging during the Shepherd's Conference. So if you want to check any of those out, there will be a link in the show notes to this episode, and you can check that out also on sukofamily.org/70. All right, folks, that's it for now. The next time I talk to you, Lord willing, it will be from back in Ukraine. All right, blessings.